Okay, now we got all of the official stuff out of the way. My first question for you is, what has been the biggest challenge for you or your family during COVID-19?
That's a, kind of a rough conversation or rough question because I think it's a myriad of things, but being a mom of young school-aged kids, just dealing with in their last school year, they couldn't be with their friends. We had to juggle virtual learning as well as our jobs and our parenthood in general. And just dealing with the emotions that came along with that. And, as this school year started, we had to make the decision whether or not we would send them in person or virtual. And as you and I had discussed before, about a week or two before school started, I had chosen to send my kids in person because I felt that they needed that socialization and they really craved it. And a week or two beforehand, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, so that, changed the ball game, and not only for my own immunity, because MS treatment is a complete immunosuppressant, and the fear of that, but also just having to still juggle with sending my kids to school in person. And as of right now, one out of my three children's schools is shut down for the next at least week because of a positive COVID diagnosis in one of the students in that not his classroom, but in that building. So it's a lot of emotions with just dealing with the children and parenting in general.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many different things that you're responsible for as the mom, and trying to make the right decisions when there's so much uncertainty. It's really hard.
Yes. And how long it's going to be.
Yeah, that's the big question mark that everybody is trying to answer. What would you say have been some sources of strength for you during the pandemic?
I think it not only is this pandemic it's just in a rough year in general, but it's also an election year. So you have people that are at odds with each other, whether it's over mask wearing or their personal political beliefs. But it's just, when you see people that, whether it's in a store or just, walking down the street, that are willing to, even through the mask, you could see them smile, you could see them say, "Hey, how are you?" And these are complete strangers to you a lot of the time. I think it's brought people together, and in this American westernized world where we're always, especially in New Jersey, where we're always on the go and we're always, "Okay, this is done. I have to go to do the next thing." We all stopped for a second and said, "It's really important to have that outreach to other people. To have, like, even though we physically can't, I'm a hugger, so that's really hurting me, but we physically can't hug each other. We can't, shake hands or high five so much, but you could reach out to someone." So that's been a little bit of a bright side in this.
Absolutely. You said that beautifully. Thank you. Sort of along similar lines, please describe one act of kindness that was done for you or that you did for someone else.
I think it's to not to keep going back to it, but it is very recent and current with me right now, is dealing with my treatment with my recent illness and being in the hospital lately. I don't bring my kids with me to treatment or anything like that. And even in my hospitalization, I was alone, during my hospitalization. I didn't want my kids to come in, and I didn't, want my family lives in Delaware. I didn't want them coming up and being worried about me, or being down in Delaware and being worried about me. So I really did it alone, and the nurses and the doctors at Robert Wood Johnson in Somerville really, like, phone calls could only do so much. They were really there with me to deal with this life-changing diagnosis as a young woman and as a young mom with young kids. It's life-changing. So to have that and be alone physically was very scary and depressing. So to a lot of the nurses there, specifically on the neurology floor, and still are, have been great with reaching out and just comforting me. And I might not be able to name all of them, but it's just like in that moment I could count on them to be kind of like a friend to me. And that meant a lot.
Yeah. That's great. That's great that they were able to be that support for you.
Yeah.
As you think about COVID-19 and the pandemic and schools and all of the different, and your own health condition, what are some of your greatest fears moving forward, looking into the future?
Kind of what we discussed a little bit ago is just how long is this going to go on? And I think even the most skilled and learned scientists and doctors don't even know. COVID's been around for a long time. We just weren't aware of it as far as the general public goes. And now whatever the strain is or whatever is going on right now during this pandemic, it's I think all of us have joked at one point about how 2020 has seemed like it's gone on for like 5 years instead of one. So it's just how long is this going to go on for? We just recently got a survey for our children's school as to whether or not we want to continue with in-person learning or virtual learning. And in our school district, it's either one or the other. You don't really get a hybrid option, and you know, you have to make a decision. So it was a decision as to my children really want to be in person, but with my own health struggles and with the fear of just them getting ill, do I want to keep them home? And I am not a germaphobe type of person, especially in the line of work that I do. I'm not a germaphobe. I don't like to live in fear, but it is what's in the best interest of my kids. I have to make a decision. I can't tell you I know what that is for the next working period.
And that goes, I'm guessing, for several months into the future, right, the marking periods?
I think it seems as of right now they're basing the decision marking period. But like I said, last week they just had one confirmed case in our school or in our school district. So it's something, it's minimal compared to the overall number of students and staff that are there. But it's, we all know that children can carry it or staff members can carry it and not know. And how quickly is this going to spread again?
Yeah, it's worrying, definitely. Okay, this is a slightly different question. What COVID-19 resources are you aware of or have you benefited from?
This is a kind of a personal level between you, with you and I, but Building Bridges to Better Health, Healthier Somerset has been a huge resource in my town as far as handing out masks and handing out other supplies like hand sanitizers and things like that, as well as education specifically for the Latino community in my town, which is, I myself am not Latino, but my children are. So that has affected my in-laws. So I've been able, and as well as my bosses through the borough of Bound Brook, they've been working with Healthier Somerset as well as the CDC and Bound Brook OEM for the larger community of Bound Brook, but specifically to protect their own employees with us at the borough of Bound Brook. So I go through a lot of things through my borough as far as if I need a resource. And usually it'll direct me back to either Healthier Somerset or the CDC for any information to get any supplies or anything like that.
Yeah, that's great. It's great to have the local connection there. And then thinking about just COVID-19 and the pandemic and the response to the pandemic, what do you think that New Jersey could have done better?
I feel like New Jersey has so far done a very good job, personally, as to curb the numbers. I mean, it's a pandemic. It's gonna spike and influx and flow. I think they've done, our government, state government as a whole, has done a good job as far as handling the pandemic personally. I'm not one to really believe in, I understand suggestions, like suggesting not to go to another state, I'm not really one to believe in restrictions. How are you going to shut down the borders for people going from state to state? But I just think that maybe it should have been tracked a little bit better, because how are you – I've known people that have come to and from different states, whether it's Pennsylvania, Delaware, and they didn't quarantine afterwards.
Mm.
I understand certain jobs, such as a first responder, you really can't do that. You have to, you know, return to your, you know, test, make sure that you're clear of COVID, and return to your job. But I don't understand. I'm not sure if it was tracked or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the quarantine is kind of an honor code thing.
Yeah. And people, you know, I've seen people that will blatantly say that they're not doing that or not wearing masks. There's not much you can do as far as people walking down the street. I don't think you need to be in your personal vehicle by yourself wearing a mask or walking down the street if you're not near someone wearing a mask. Mm-hmm. But I've seen people walk into stores and absolutely refuse to these sales associates to put masks on. And
wow.
These associates are making minimum wage and just trying to keep their jobs, or these small business owners just want to keep their businesses open. So I don't understand. I think the residents should be holding a higher responsibility to flatten the curve.
Right, to protect everybody.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, those are all of the official questions I had. If there's anything else that you had any comments on related to the pandemic or anything going on this year, I'm open.
Not really. I just, you know, I'm going to give props where props are due to all of the essential workers. You know, up and until about 2 months ago, I myself was one. And as you know, now that I'm a disability, but the same thing to people in the medical field and fellow first responders, having, you know, we leave our homes every day and don't know if we're going to walk out and be exposed to someone and bring it back to our home, but we chose the jobs that we got into, and that's ultimately like what we have to do in order to protect our greater community. So I just want to give props to all the other essential workers.
Yes, definitely. We are all grateful to them and to you. I know that you put in a lot of time in that role. Well, thank you so much, Ryan, for talking with me today. I really appreciate your insight. I appreciate it on a personal level, and also I know that the YMCA State Alliance is really looking forward to hearing stories from a variety of people across the whole state. So thank you so much for being willing to contribute your piece to that.
Okay, thank you.